So we pray, Heavenly Father, we're very grateful to be allowed another opportunity, this commemoration to your resurrection on this lovely Sunday morning, Lord, the Lord's Day. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us an understanding that the world does not have and cannot have because they do not have anything but the Spirit of man, whereas we have the Spirit of God. And we are happy to know that, Lord, and to testify to it. And we know, Lord, that we have passed from death unto life because we believe your word, Father, and it means so much to us. Now we just ask you to help us in the study of your word this morning, Lord, to be more and more confirmed in the faith of this hour, not yesterday's faith, but the faith of this hour, Lord, what it is all about and where we stand and how we stand. We need this instruction, Lord, unto righteousness and unto worship and all the things of the kingdom of God. So we ask you to help us, and we know that you will, because we ask according to your word. And when we ask according to your word, we know that you hear us, and we know that you hear us, we know we have the petition. And so, Father, we know this much this morning, that we will increase in knowledge and understanding according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, just a quick announcement here. I have a notice from Brother Osborne. They're going to have meetings in Lima on the July 18th to 20th at the Best Western, exit 130. That's a Blue Lick Road Western Convention Center. 131.75, and I suppose the meetings begin about 8 o'clock in the evening. They'll have special singers and different men there. There's Brother Lewis Clark will be there, and that makes me quite interested because I've always thought a great deal of that brother. So he might be ministering, I don't know. We may possibly go down. Now, going into the subject of events made clear by prophecy, I just want to read a couple little verses, backtrack a second, then we'll kind of deviate again. Brother Branham says the church is always in a mess by their theologians and priests. Always a mess up. Always their interpretation is wrong. Not one time has it ever failed to be wrong. Now, it'd be nice if they said not one time has it failed to be right. But that's not so. Not one time has it failed to be right. And not one time has the Word of God ever failed to be right. I mean, failed to be wrong. Yes, their interpretation is wrong. Never failed to be wrong at any time. Not one time has the Word of God ever failed to be right. Now, that's the difference. So you can see right here that when you have interpretation under theological explanation, it's no longer the Word of God because it come to pass. So it's not the Word of God. Now, that's hard for people to understand, but that's the truth. Add one word, take one word, change one, take it out of context. It's no longer the Word of God. So you see, it's a very difficult book to really get into except by a prophet. Now you see God wrote the Bible himself. Now God can speak. God said to Jeremiah, he put words in my mouth. And Jeremiah said he put words in my mouth, and God can write, wrote the Ten Commandments, and so on. Now, what we're looking at here is Brother Branham actually, in this message, as in other messages, is speaking concerning himself and the presence of Almighty God, the prophet in God, God and the prophet, and teaching us concerning the things of this hour by vindication. Now, this one message here is just one of many messages that Brother Branham has preached. Now, he's preached whole messages like this one, and with the other one he studied, which was God is his own, recognizing God by his characteristics. And so I'm taking three messages that really deal with this subject, like the true sign overlooked, recognizing your day in his message, and events made clear by prophecy, taking it in there, and also who do you say this is. And we're going to try to combine them this morning as I take out excerpts from each of those others, and then we'll look back on them as we study further in this one, events made clear by prophecy. Now, as I said, this will bring out the presence of God as in Revelation 10 and 1, the mighty one that came down. As in Revelation 10 and 7, the prophet that was there standing there to be used as a voice. And then in 1 Thessalonians 1, where it says, the Lord himself shall descend from him with a shout, where the Greek positivity lets you know that it is not said to be the voice of the one who descends. Now, that's very, very important to know that. It is not said to be the voice of the one who descends. It is not. So what is it? It is the voice of Brother Branham, who said, I was just the voice of one who stood near when he appeared. All right, now, going into what do you say, and I'm going to read a lot, so we may never get into this other message this morning. Now, just notice how few of them in his day, of the millions upon earth, that never even knew of him being there. Now, you're going to find that he brings this into a parallel in his hour, which was 1964, and, of course, previous to that in 65, because he'd been gone for roughly almost 20 years now. Just think, there were tens of millions of people that never knew anything about it. That's Jesus. And to think in Israel at that time, there were 2.5 million people in Palestine, Israelites, and not 1/100th of them ever knew it. Now, you see, they might have known something of it, but they didn't know it as it stood there to be known and must be known. Now, hearsay is not the answer. See, it's no-say, K-N-O-W. All right. no wonder he said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, but few there will be that find it. Just think of how many didn't recognize him, didn't know that he was that. And they, right around him where he was at. That's the pitiful part. Now, there again, we're looking at a parallel. Again, the church saw him in his great power of manifesting. Manifesting what? Not manifesting a creed. Now, see, there again, you notice that if he had manifested a creed, then it did have caught on. But he wasn't manifesting a creed. He was manifesting the Word. And so they couldn't get it. He was manifesting the Word. He was the anointed Word himself. And when they saw that taking place, the manifestation and the anointed Messiah, they turned it down. They didn't want it. It wasn't in their taste. That's the pitiful part. Just think of it, just as in other days. Now, you'll notice that he was not received. And you'll see that through Scripture, this is standard procedure, that God is not received. All right? See, each had his interpretation of the Word. That's what? The reason Israel didn't recognize Moses. That's the reason the world didn't recognize Noah. That's the reason all the prophets weren't recognized. The people had their own interpretation of the Word. But God in every age has had his Messiah. Now you notice in there he's had someone who takes his place, which as we said and noticed that the Roman Catholic Church used the word vicar, which is instead of Christ, which is true. But they did it all by man. See, God never told anybody to vote down in Egypt. In fact, the prime minister of South Africa said if Moses had been a committee, the children of Israel would still be in Egypt. And so he was smart enough to know what most Christians don't know, that God doesn't have a committee. He said, with whom did I take counsel? He said, nobody. Now, they had their own interpretation of the word, and every age has had its Messiah. See, to reject Noah's message was to reject God. Now, you simply can't make people believe that, unless the person's elect. If you believe this, you've got to be a real heretic according to them. That means you worship God according to your way, which is not their way, and therefore you're wrong. See, I don't need no prophet. Now, you can see you don't need Lee Bell. I say, well, amen. That's great. I don't need him myself. We need a prophet. They were anointed messiahs for that age. The word that was promised for that age. See, because they were anointed. And when Jesus came, he was the fullness of the word. Now, the fullness of the word doesn't just mean this Bible. He's the central theme, and he's all of that true. But you're going into expression and manifestation of God himself, which is Logos. The Spirit of God expressed in a form that man can apprehend it. That is to see it, to know what is going on, and then have the Word come and tells you all about it. God himself made into man's structure, with bones and flesh, the Anointed One. And they should have seen that. Oh, they saw it, but didn't sink in. But you see, their church world had so added here, and taken away here, and so forth, until it was so messed up, till they trusted in their church instead of the Word. And when they saw their church anointed, now watch this, watch the language. And when they saw their church anointed, they thought something great was taking place. Now, come on. You don't have one word about that back in the Bible concerning the day of Jesus. They weren't doing anything but sitting around, you know, picking their noses almost and fussing at each other. This is today he's talking about. See? This is this hour. Because you'll see where he runs parallel. See? So just keep alert. The man is speaking to people here, not way back there. And he's showing you, don't let it happen to you, but it is happening. But not to you. See? All right. The church was anointed, and they thought something great was taking place. But when they saw the word anointed, then they said, that's fanaticism. This man is the devil of Beelzebub. Well, come on. You know, who called the Pentecostal devils? Missionary Lions? Nazarenes? No doubt Methodists and all the rest of them. Mennonites, you name them. All the old boys. They weren't content to slop all over with vulgar things. They just named them the devil. All right? Now notice who's calling us devils. Or they will. They call Brother Branham. It was maybe one wild man. The rest were Pentecostals. All right? Cause is so contrary to their church until their church creeds and what they've done. And it was that way in every coming of a prophet. The church was so messed up. Now you notice he's referring Messiah and prophet. And showing that a prophet is a sub-Messiah, but he's nonetheless a Messiah. Alright, God sent down his laws and gave him a covenant. And the priest would come in and cut away and add to and take over here and make a creed out of it. Then God would raise up out of nowhere some anointed man that was raised up in the power of the Spirit. And he always was hated by the priests and by the kings. And where the false prophets wore soft clothes and walked humbly and softly among the kings and priests who deserved big names, that is to cotton to them to get big names, and the people think they deserve it, and things, then the real true prophet came from nowhere, none of their organization. Where was there any in the Bible where God ever took a priest and made a prophet out of him? Where did God take an ecclesiastic or theologian, trained man, theologically trained man, and make a prophet out of him? Never in the histories of anywhere did he ever do it in any age did he ever do it. He has to get away from that system and bring it up. And that's what he's done here. Here what? Now. Not here historically in the scripture back 2,000 years ago. Here now. Because he's preaching to people here. Man, you know, somewhere down here in Swahili or somewhere. I don't know what they do where it's such a place. Jesus, when he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, out of a poor family, and he had no background as they knew of, just one of a tribe of Judah, and his mother and father from the lineage of David, and they'd come up and tippy tax, and here he was, just a young fellow around, doing nothing but tearing up the churches. And they hated him. And they couldn't say but what that man did miracles. That's true. Peter expressed that the day of Pentecost. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you, that God was with him. He went about doing good and healing the sick, you see. And not to add to his word or anything, just make it a little plainer. He was God made flesh with us, God with us. Now God was with them years back in a prophet. And that was a portion. But this is the fullness. And remember, we're in a parallel. Because why preach back there if the message is different in its attributes? See, Alpha's Omega. So you gotta watch. We see every man has his own interpretation. That's why it's so confusing. But you know the Bible said that this word is of no private interpretation. It doesn't need a Presbyterian interpretation of it. It doesn't need a Baptist interpretation. Neither does it need a Pentecost interpretation. God is his own interpreter. He said he would do it, so he just does it, and that settles it. Now remember, interpretation of the word is God bringing it to pass, manifesting it, and thereby interpreting it. But you also remember this. You can stand there and see what God is doing, and you can draw a complete blank. It takes a prophet. Now, you'll find Brother Branham brings it out. So just don't take one statement and isolate and run with it. You can't do it. See, you can end up Jesus only in Godhead on that kind of a thinking. So that's why they see the word of the promise anointed, and then they can't receive it. You see, because it's contrary to their creed. Well, they're expecting something different. That's the whole thing, see? Okay? But as ever, when he came just exactly the way the word said he would come. You can't argue that. He came into the city just exactly in our text this morning the way the word said he would come. And they said, who is it? Do you see what I mean? They ought to have known who it was. And here, not the outside world, but the church world said, who is it? Who is this? When there, the scripture had plainly said that's exactly the way he would come. And they said, who is it? Who is this fellow? What's all this emotion about? And commotion, no doubt, too. Stop from making all that noise. It makes us nervous. Uh-huh. See? The very thing they had prayed for was right there at hand, and they didn't recognize him. Now, Simeon did, Anna did. How come Brother Boz would recognize Brother Branham? He said, I prayed 40 years for the ministry of Christ to return to this earth, and there it is in that man. I didn't know that. Of course, I wasn't praying 40 years. I wasn't Brother Bosworth either. I'm still not. I don't want to be him, but I'd like to be like him. That takes practice. And he come just exactly the way the scripture said he would come. And if he does today, what? Come. He'll come just the way the Scripture says he'll come. He ever comes in the taste of God's Word, not in the taste of some theologian's idea about it. I wonder if this great thing, this ecumenical council we got in the world today, and the World Council of Churches forming together to make us all one, now what are they going to be one for? To destroy the revelation of God's Word. Even the fundamentalists will have a problem. Now that's foolish virgin, they won't join with them, but they'll die. See? World Council coming together. I wonder if they realize. You see, what they're trying to do in the World Council is merge together their thinking so everything is acceptable. Oh, my goodness. I just don't know how they're going to do it, but the devil's a pretty shrewd customer. I wonder if they realize it. That is exactly what the Scripture said they would do. But they think it's the most wonderful thing in the world that all of us can join hands and be one. Said Jesus prayed that we might be one. That is true, but not that kind of one. He said, be one as I and the Father are one. Yeah, that kind of one. Then how will that be? The Word and us would be the anointed Word. That's the Logos himself would be, you know, with us and us would be one anointed Word. No difference. Now, we wouldn't be the fullness. See? But whatever he had, we'd be heir to and part of it. This is the oneness of God. Now, let's read it again. How will that be? The Word in us would be the anointed Word. That is the oneness of God. See, the oneness of God is the Word anointed in you. See? And then you become a son, a Messiah of this age. In plain English, when that Word in you is enriched, enlivened, revealed, dynamized by the Holy Spirit, then you are one with God. Now, you may look for something else, but that's the way it is. And also, you'll notice in there that if the Word is in you and anointed, it'll bring forth what the Word says is incumbent upon a Christian. That'll be your heart's desire. I know you won't be perfect, but that's coming in the resurrection, but you will do fine. Here's a woman standing here. I'm a young man waiting to get married. She meets my specifications in every way. She's a lovely Christian. She looks like one. She dresses like one. She acts like one. She lives like one. I'll admit she'd make me a good wife. But she isn't mine till I take her for mine. Now, that's the way the message is. You can sympathize with it. It's right. But you've got to take it yourself to become part of you and become a part of it. Then you and the message become one. Then the anointing's with you as it is with the others. Now, it tells you there that you've got to come to the place where this is it. Where this is what you're listening to, you're relying upon. The prophet of the word is, the prophet of the day is this word. Not another message, not passed down the road, not ahead. Brother Branham did not come with the message of Elijah and Moses. And he did not come with the message of Pentecost, they didn't have one. He didn't come with the message of Luther and Wesley. Or one of the great saints that came up through the dark ages. No way. The prophet of the day is this word. In other words, if you got a prophet, it's got to be one with this word that's for this hour. That's right. The prophet today is not all these here different denominations. There's a Methodist prophet, a Baptist prophet, a Pentecostal prophet. Sure, they're all prophesying that the appearing is the meeting in the air. And I'm not a betting man in the sense of wagering. I'm a little bit too sharp at the mouth a bit, and I'm ready to bet when I should have no business to. But I could say this morning, I'm willing to bet a lot of people who say they believe this message do still do not understand one hardly anything of the difference of the appearing and the coming. When Brother Branham categorically said, now is the appearing, later is the coming. And we're going to find where it's not only appearing in signs and wonders. Now, you get that flat, because you can take that and run at this. Oh, it appears in signs and wonders. Now, I hold it. That's part of it. We got the quotes this morning, right? Right? Smack dab out of three sermons. And I'm just reading right along here, see? Now, but still, we don't want these prophets' denominations. But still remains, there's one true prophet, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's right, Jesus Christ. He is the Word. That's right. He is the Word, the anointed Word of the hour. Now, he tells you very conclusively, as he said over in another place, he said that the Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not a man God, but had come by a prophet. Now, he didn't obviate and say, now look, that pillar of fire, go away, go away, go away. I'm just going to strut my stuff here. No, 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 no. I didn't say that. Now, what does a prophet do? A prophet tells. Prophet doing is not the thing. The prophet acting is merely to catch your attention. God gaining favor with you. To get you aware. Get you steamed up. Stimulate. Then comes the Word. And only God has the Word. And He puts the Word in prophets' mouths. And it's still God's Word, not a prophet's Word. Oh, no. Then where do denominations come? Your brother Brand said, I just see them all fading away and I see Jesus. Hallelujah. God, if we just get the same vision, we'd tear ourselves apart and rebuild ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit. No more of this junky existence we're going through. You say, well, I think it's pretty good, Brother Bear. We've got down the road quite a bit. So we have, but fap, I wouldn't give you two holes and a plugged nickel for what I got for what's down. You know, I'm looking for all of God. That's what we're looking for. Not you don't know halfway marks. No halfway houses here. All right, notice again. He said, that's right. All these prophets, denomination prophets, in other words, what he's saying is they got stimulated word for the people. That's a revelation. They're bringing. He said it doesn't work. But still remains, there's one true prophet. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's been that way through the Word. There's not one disagrees with the other one. It's cohesive and coherent. It's a unity. See? That's why there can be a series. And at the end, we have our Word, and we all come up together and stand right here in this earth. And be caught away in the rapture. Marvelous. See? How is it done? One Word. But the Word for this hour. The Word for this hour is the Word of immortality, brother, sister. I don't care what anybody says. It precedes the resurrection. Jesus said so. You read John 11 again. We may look at it a little bit today. I don't suppose we'll have time. Okay, again. But still remains there's one true prophet, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he's working in man, he's going to come right forth on an even keel and right down that line, never deviating. Now remember, he's shooting for the tree of life where man can stretch forth his hand and walk right in. Now one word off, where does he go? One word off, took him right away from the tree. Now, God doesn't make mistakes. If there's a prophet in this hour, he'll be right on target. All you got to do is believe him. All you got to do is believe him. You say, well, Brother Bale, I think there's something of the doing. I'm going to tell you something. If Eve had a belief, she wouldn't have done what she did done. She wouldn't have done what she did. And the only reason you and I do what we do, by the grace of God, is on the Word. So the more Word you get, the more you live that life. That means the more your word is gone, the more His word is in here, then you can't help but grow in grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the acts will be commensurate. That's why God gives His Spirit to a certain person, and that person messes up, He just cleans them up and takes them off the board, off the light. Say goodbye. Just takes them right off the scene. I'll read it again. There's one, but still remains, there's one true prophet, the same yesterday and forever. That's right, Jesus Christ. Now what's He talking about? Jehovah anointing. And He is the Word. Certainly is. He is nothing but the manifestation of what God is in Himself by Spirit intrinsically. God couldn't do any different than when He went by that pool and He said, what's wrong with you? And the man said, well, he said, I've got this problem here, but he said, I'm trying to get down the pool and when the angel stirs the water and see God leaving a remembrance for the people. Always there's something up there to show the goodness of God and lead you to God. But he said, I can't get down and somebody pushed me aside. He said, my. He was the person who walked on. You say, well, that puzzled me. Well, go ahead and puzzle. That's the trouble. Everybody puzzles. Why puzzle? You can't figure God out. You can't double guess Him. If you can't get it, just say, whoo, it'll come later. Maybe if not, well, hell, there'll be the prophet. Don't think your thoughts on it. See? Now, He is the Word. That's right. He is the Word. The anointed word of the hour. In other words, the word that's taking place right now is what He's fulfilling. Why? Because He already done fulfill the rest. See? Okay. Glad to see your man here. Oh, yeah, just one little paragraph. They say, who is this? We know who it is. It's Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever, the pillar of fire. Now there's where people are missing it. God in the form of sonship in a pillar of fire, not in fatherhood. Now you listen carefully what I'm saying. Because if you don't separate and give back to God what you're supposed to give back with insight and understanding as the prophet gave us, you've got a problem. They say, who is this? We know who it is. It's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever, the pillar of fire. when Moses' time, look what it did. Type the pillar of fire today. I want to ask you a question. What did Israel have outside the pillar of fire? No thing. Nothing. You do what you want. See why we stand the way we stand? See, it's kind of hard-nosed. Well, I got a big nose to be hard with. I'm sorry. I don't fuss with anybody. I have no fuss with anybody. When words shift ignorant clods to educate a smart man in this message, that's fine by me. I'm an ignorant clod. God took 40 years to beat the smartness out of Moses. He didn't have to take that long with me because I never had any smartness in the first place. Stupid, yes, stupid. He hasn't got finishing it yet there. Not that spiritual. No way, shape, and form. When Moses, at Moses' time, look what it did. Type the pillar of fire today. Always. Why did they not believe Jesus to be the Word? They had the wrong interpretation and understanding. Just as Eve did, so they do now. I hope you're catching these salient factors I'm bringing up. Pillar of fire. Remember, the pillar of fire was typed in Moses' day. And remember, God was in that pillar of fire. He was in the midst of the thick clouds. But notice inside was flashing lightnings out of the thick cloud. Darkness. Now, we'll go a little further yet. You watch. See, we've got some goodies here. All right. Now, in our text, it was near the Feast of the Passover. It was an awful time. People were sleeping on the outside of the gates. Every Passover did this. They were outside lying on the ground. The inns were all full of everything. It was the Passover. There's great expectation there. The air was filled. Not over 5 minutes. We'll get out, he says. Not with me, you won't. An hour and a half. Everybody was all charged. Look, there's three classes of people there. Looking on Jesus. Word in flesh. Not pillar of fire now. But the same pillar of fire form left, the one in it is in a body. Now watch. Three classes of people that saw him. There was great expectation. They knew that this strange man was coming up to the feast. Some of them loved him and believed him. And some of them hated him. Most of them hated him. And because one loved him and the other hated him, the middleman didn't know what to do. They didn't know. Notice the air was full of expectation. One thing. When he gets up there, I'll tell you, we'll call him. We'll give him a word test. We'll stand up there by the high priest. We'll see what his wisdom is against Caiaphas. He had already proved that, see? But we'll do this. We'll see. I know that some of those great leaders will take hold of him. Boy, they'll turn that old guy inside out. They'll let him know what he was. When they go to fooling with our priest, boy, they know what they're doing. They're smart men. They know what they're doing. What about the day they stood before Brother Branham in Chicago? They did lip service and bootlicking. The minute Brother Branham's back was turned, nothing. Others said, I wonder what they will do with that guy anyhow. Others said, oh, I'm waiting for him to come. God is with him. He is that word. Oh, I just want to see him. Oh, they were divided. See, now see the ones that did not know him and believed him, that did know him and believed him, they would have known what gate to wait at. See? Right. They knew the position. They knew how he was coming, where and when. Now is appearing. We know things nobody else knows. Not that we're smart or special or privileged. No, we don't take any preeminence over anybody or anything. Grace, brother, sister. Grace. See, it's still my favorite song. They knew him and believed him. They would know what gate to wait at, see? They knew which way he was coming. See, appearing's not coming. There's great expectation, but you know there wasn't too many psalms. They'd seen him previously. They didn't meet him at the wedding supper. We're going to meet him. See? Now let's get the parallels here. Because remember, he's preaching today's message backing for illustration out of the Gospels and the Old Testament. Now you're right up to date. Remember the old movie, the old TV series? I think I saw one of all of them. Never saw it. You were there. Took you back in history. All right? Now listen, back in history. Some of them said he's a good man. Oh, there's nothing wrong with him. Like Napoleon, Washington, he was a good man. But oh, as a teacher, no. And some of them said, oh, he's a good man. Oh, he's just all mixed up. That's all. He's a good fellow. Nobody can say anything bad about him. As Brother Brandon said, that man didn't dare say one thing against my character. Yeah, that's see? That's I'd like that statement made. I could say that too if they hadn't found anything out about me. So, We better clean our lives up, eh? Others said, oh, no, he's the devil. I can tell you that. That there's mind-reading stuff and all this other stuff, and that's false prophecy. It's contrary to our creed. Now, they're not that blank about it, though some are. They said, that's contrary to the Word, and we know. Because we've got the latest editions, and we've got the greatest professors. Don't you believe such a thing as that? And the other one said, glory to God, it's God. I know him, I see him. And they were waiting on him. Sons of Abraham, three men came by and said, there's God. You know that's tremendous spiritual perception. Waiting on him. Now that's just the way we stand today. Just the same thing. The Word anointed for this hour, the Laodicean church. Miserable, rich, blind, naked, doesn't even know. They're an object of pity, and they're so puffed up, it's horrible. Time hasn't changed. People are designed the same as they were then. Hebrews 13:8 said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, by closing, I'm going to ask the question. I'm going by saying this. The question isn't to them anymore. They asked, who is it? But in 1964, the question is, what do you say it is? Who do you say it is? What's this all about? What is it all about? To complete the bride. To get her out of here. To purge the earth. To purge Israel. To purge the church. To come down here and set up millennium. The kingdom of God is nigh. Time is blended with eternity. Life is overtaking death. And immortality is ever present. What is this all about? Have you stopped to search the scriptures? Who do you think this is? Is it mental telepathy? Is it some wild something out of the wilderness yonder somewhere, like they said, John was a man, wild, drowning people in the water out there? When Isaiah said he'd be there, the forerunner, Malachi said there'd be just exactly. Now, what's Brother Branham saying? Am I just some wild man with mental telepathy? Am I some goof-off, some neurotic person? I'm baptizing heavily, giving water calls, not altar calls, but water calls. Baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you aren't baptized right, get baptized again. See? John was a forerunner, so am I. That's what he said. Malachi said there would be just exactly as it is. Those prophets said the prophet will rise up there to forerun it. And here he was. But listen, he's talking about now. But he swung, here he was, and fooled everybody. Here he is. What? The prophet. And the presence. Come on. What about 64? What's that got to do 2,000 years ago? Nothing. Except it's the same God. One started redemption, one's closing it. Same one. They said, that's a wild man. Stay away from him. See? Don't have anything to do with him. And here comes the Messiah, just exactly what the scripture said. He'd ride in the city upon the foal of an ass, meek and lowly upon the foal of an ass, coming to the city, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And here stands the people at a religious feast again, like Balaam, at a religious feast saying, who is this? He's talking about today. What Balaam did in ecumenism, through the lust of the flesh, appealing to pleasure, and good sense, that, hey, we're really all one. Look, man, we've had this book for 2,000 years of us Gentiles, and hey, man, we're so split up, and we know there's a Savior, glory to God. Why don't we just get together? A woman told me that many, many years ago in Pentecost. She said, Brother Bear, she said, we should come together on Jesus, not the Word. I said, hold it, sister, hold it right there.
Amen.
I knew what she was down deep inside right there. She's a lovely person, but look, love, love, love. Look, I'm for all kinds of love, I told you, but there's one love. I'm really interested in. Now, all the other stuff is derivative. It's good. It's nice. It's fine. Polish, polish, swab, swab, this, that, nice, nice. And, it, you know, soft answer turns away wrath. All that sort of jazz, you know. It's jazz. It's music. Got the wrong beat, honey. Got the wrong beat. I'd sooner be beat over the head and get right with God. I don't want to say that too facetiously because I've been beat over the head. No chastening for the time is anything but grievous, but later the peaceful fruit of the Spirit. And today, the scriptures promise for this hour, friends, it's fulfilled right in our midst, hour after hour. Do you think it is? Who do you think it is?
Yeah.
You believe we're in the appearing? Yeah. Well, you're not in the appearing. I don't know if you don't believe that. What do we believe? Okay. Now, Lord, we know it's you. Now, watch again. It's Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost. He is the Holy Ghost. I come from God and I go to God. And we see the great pillar of fire amongst us, Lord. The same as they did in the first part of the Bible with Moses. Now listen, we seen it or saw it in the middle of the Bible when Paul was on the road to Damascus. We see it now, here we see it at the end time, Three is confirmation. It's been the message each time. Now, you figured, is it right? Was it the message each time? You bet it was the message each time. What was the message? Word is being fulfilled. This is the hour. Come on down, meet with the Word, and you'll be the Word fulfilled in human flesh. Now, Brother Banner, when he's taking me privately, as I told you, he said, Lee, see, we haven't had a prophet since the time of Moses who spoke face to face with God, and for 2,000 years since the time of the Apostle Paul. And he puts it right in here. William Branham speaks face to face with God. Now, let's watch this, brother, sister. You notice the pillar of fire here. He's very calm. He doesn't know it's there. Now, he stands before the people day, night after night, or day after day, and he said, the light is moving. He said, light. Didn't say pillar of fire. He said, the light is moving. He said, it's over his sister's head. It's over here. It's over there. And he's very, very calm. He's just, we'll ask him to come. So we don't know if you come. He's here. I'll take every spirit. Now, watch that. That's not that light. That's another source. Not another source, but it's another aspect we're talking about. And he said, we'll take every spirit under our control for the glory of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does it. But I saw him the day that the pillar of fire appeared in his room in Chesterfield. He looked like a hunted animal. Like a hunted animal. So let me assure you that what he saw over the congregation was not that. People tell me years ago how they saw angels. I said, if I saw an angel, I would crawl under the tile on my cement floor. Because, I saw Jesus waving, and he said, hello, Mary, hello, John, hello, Bill. I said, that. Now, you know my language, the kind of language used, was pretty sarcastic, but so I won't say what I said, but I can't really remember. It wasn't nice. It wasn't vulgar. It's just right to the point. Hogwash. Amen. The children, my teeth were set on edge by their vinegar. Well, I'm going to tell you, when I saw the prophet look like a hunted person, a wild look of terror in his eyes, he was seeing something that wasn't in a meeting. Here. Well, let's get these things straight. Huh? I'm preaching truth, brother, sister, as far as I know what the problem is. Otherwise, look, if I'm not right, I could be wrong. But if I'm not right, I want an explanation. And I'm not stupid. God never used stupid people. Not that he used smart people. And he can't use the willfully ignorant. In other words, none of these prophets were demented. They were millions of miles ahead of the average man. I'm not millions of miles ahead. Neither am I that far behind. I want an explanation. God, may men and women no longer hold on to traditions and creeds, but may they come out of that thing, give their lives completely to God and believe. Now, what's a tradition and creed? Anything that's from the Bible that has not been thoroughly explained by the prophet, and when it has been explained, is contrary to the prophet. One word off, one word on. That's a creed or a dogma. When you say what the prophet said, especially with understanding, you are no longer creedal in your beliefs. You're right on target. You're part of that word. But may they come out of that thing, give their lives completely to God and believe. You can't believe until you give it completely over to God. Not trust just one upon a theory and things of men, but trust in the living God. While these holidays are going on, the cry is still, who is this? What is this? What's it all about? Religious people say the same thing. It's the same Lord Jesus made flesh in his people, anointing his word for the bride. Now, sure it is. But not that. You say, well, that's just a minute now. Brother Bill, don't watch it. I'm not watching anything. You watch and you listen. I'm going over this again. Religious people say the same thing. And it's the same Lord Jesus made flesh in his people, anointing his word for the bride. And they can't understand it. All right, now you say, just a minute, Brother Branham says bride, that's many people, so now we can get it. Oh, no, you can't, that's company revelation. The same prophet said it never comes to a company, it comes to one man. And Paul the Apostle, what came the word of God to you, or did it come out of you? He said it came to you. Amen. And he said, if you're a spirit, you've got a half an ounce of spirituality, you think you're born again. Are you born again? Are you a prophet? Do you have real gifts? He said, you'll acknowledge what I say are the commandments of God. Hallelujah. And William Branham said, well, I say what God says in this word, nothing else. Don't you give me that body stuff, brother, sister. I know Pentecost. I was raised in it, and all the devils just slants in. Until you don't understand anymore. Your brain is numb. Your life was fogged up by the fogs of all hell. Robin, God stood there. You stood there. You waited for the word the prophet gave. You didn't have one thing to do with it.
Amen.
Except by the grace of God, if you were, thank God you were a sponge to suck it up. So the water could fall upon you, because the rain is typical of the word. He said, as the water falls upon the earth, so does my word come to bring forth. You watered by the word this morning, it's up to you. But you can't get it with your creeds and dogmas. The devil slants it every time. Well, I got something. What do you got? You got, oh gosh. Now, if you got Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born again. That's nothing to spit at. I wasn't saying that about that. Giving that any raspberry. But I'm giving men's understanding this morning that are full of dogmas and creeds and think they know something. They know nothing at all. Even we don't know as we ought to know. One day we will. And they can't understand it. They also far away in the Odyssey until they don't know what it's all about. But the prophet said, the prophet said. Now where does that leave you and me in a ministry? It doesn't. We're ministered to, then we minister.
Amen.
I'll show you, don't get the cart before the horse. I'll bring it up. Just stick with me. I'll show you exactly why Hebrews 13 and 8 is not Mark 16. These things come slow. Look, I'm not God and I'm not a prophet. They come slow. All right. He took the excerpt, what I felt were very vital. Very, very good for continuing this message when we continue it. All right, now, we're going to go back to the to a recap. Now that you've got a good understanding what we're into here, and these messages are all alike. There's a central theme, but they're brought up many, many ways. That's the way preachers teach and so on. Now, we said already that concerning this message, Brother Branham, dealing in the events made clear by prophecy, the Bible is different from all other sacred books because it deals in prophetic events. No other book foretells the future as does the Bible. Furthermore, its central theme is Jesus Christ, the Logos, or revealer of God, because it is God revealing himself. In other words, God coming into a form, a mask. Thus, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ from start to finish, Genesis to Revelation. It is pure prophecy from God concerning God himself as to the how, when, where, and what form he manifests himself, and what he's doing, how he chooses to do it. Now, if he wanted to use a doorknob, he could do it, but he's using prophets. Then, since the author is God and the sovereign power behind it is God, it makes Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's exactly right. Essentially, he cannot change, and as to his workings, he cannot change. There's a continuity. This in turn reveals the plan and purpose of God and illuminates mankind in every age as to the hour in which he is living. And there's a part for every age. Paul in the first century said to the Ephesian church, which is the Ephesian church is the model church. It's the bride church. Everything was in order. Gifts in order. People in order. Love and faith abounding. See, based on what? Words that Paul brought. And it was a corrected word that Paul brought. Because when he went down there with Apollos, went down to the coast of Ephesus, he found there a group of people that had been taught by Apollos, baptized unto John. He said, my, he said, you people believe something, but you haven't gone far. He said, what do you mean? Well, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? He said, we don't even know about any Holy Ghost. What are you talking about? Well, he said, I'll tell you. As soon as they heard, they got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, baptized over again. See, they were looking to the coming. Now he has already come, so you've got to look back. And they received the Holy Ghost. Now you've got to get back to where Paul was the apostle with the bride church. Oh, come on. They were the only ones whom he ever said, I pray the Spirit of God and wisdom comes in your midst and reveals him and brings up the dead and takes you up in a rapture. The Corinthian church were so messed up he had to set them straight. They never did get set straight. That's your Pentecostals. Never did. There's no hope for it. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. I can't help with it. What I got to preach. All right. He said, you know, in part, to the Corinthians, Paul had got the Ephesian church to the place where they would no longer know in part, only if that spirit came down. To the Hebrews, he said, I can't even teach you. You're still babies. I want to teach mature material to you people concerning Melchizedek, concerning Almighty God Elohim who came down in the form of a man. Priest, king, king of Salem, king of righteousness. Now this Melchizedek that we're speaking of, that Paul's speaking of, You know, he was not one who made a sacrifice. He took the emblems of the sacrifice, the wine and the bread, and served Abraham. Now that's what we're looking at. See? We're looking now in this hour that absolutely types the Ephesian church, not the Corinthian church. They were all messed up. They didn't have it. Now, also, that this Bible was given to us by God through prophets, see, and he's Hebrews 13 and 8, disallows him to make a change. That's why he was a prophet himself. He didn't come down and say, well, now I want to tell you, folk, I'm the great prophet. Hallelujah. I've had prophets all along, but I want to show you, these other fellows had nothing compared to me. I am the great prophet. He had to be a prophet. Because that's how the word came. What did that? How did the word come? Prophet. If he speaks again, and he's got to speak again from Hebrews 12, how's it going to be? Prophet. Now, people that deny that have denied Hebrews 13 and 8, although they mouthed and they mouthed him out. Now, I'm sorry to say words like this, but God is my judge. I've got to say them. I don't feel a real spiritual check. I just feel it's a hard thing to say. You say, Brother Vail, don't they speak in their hearts? They do, but what is in the heart? No, let's be honest. 2,000 years ago, God gave us Gentiles the prophet Paul. And at the end time has promised us Elijah just before the world burns. He is to restore by revelation. And as did John the Baptist, he will make ready the prepared people. Introduce them to the bridegroom. It's exactly what Malachi said. And that's a part that was left off in the book of Luke when it was said concerning John, he turned the hearts of the fathers to the children, and we now as children get turned back to the Father. In other words, we come right back where we were in the beginning. Real, genuine Pentecost. People think that's Pentecost in 90s. Oh, God have mercy, brother, sister. Don't ever think of Pentecost as a denomination or anything in the last, 1985 to 79 years. Please, please don't think of that. When Brother Branham talks of real Pentecost, he's going back to A.D. 33 and a half. And he's also going back to about A.D. 53 for you and me and the Apostle Paul. See? Now, to those who rebel against the last day prophet, they annul Hebrews 13 and 8. For God uses prophets to bring the word and reveal the word. And he's here today in the pillar of fire using the prophet. He was here. He is here, but he'll use the prophet. These prophets are identified to us by God. They are indicated or set forth in Scripture. Then they are vindicated according to Deuteronomy 18 and Numbers 12. Numbers 18, you can run the whole gamut. He says a thing from a vision or inspired utterance. It comes to pass. God's words in his mouth. This man is different like Moses. Face to face.
Amen.
I'll let that sink in. Let it sink in. We see the magnitude of this thing. Face to face. We sing that song, Face to Face, that Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When in rapture I behold him. And his beauty I shall see. That's wonderful. You're going to see a man. And all the attributes that's in this is going to manifest. If we can think Brother Branham was close to a millennial man, what's it going to be when you see Jesus? Oh, brother, sister, there was no deceit in Brother Branham's handwriting. There was no guile found in Jesus' mouth. There's no guile. We're such a mess. But listen, use your mess to glorify God by realizing this. What's it going to be to really see somebody in that category? Well, you don't worry about yourself anymore because why would you worry? You got a representative. See, he got me off the hook. See? God only hears us through the blood. He sees Jesus, our representation. All right, thirdly, these have the message of the hour. For what good is it that they, if they preach what lies behind, except as an example, and what good it be if it lies ahead? For the people who listen would be excluded. What, sir? And the message of mere telling more than vindicating. See? The message today is a revelation of what is actually going on. That is the reason Amos 3 and 8. When the lion roars, that's the thunder roars. And said, who can help but prophesy? God is bound to show his people what they need to know. Now, this is Exodus time. So what better time at this point to bring up Moses and Balaam? And there you see the true word and the false word. See?
Here are the two peoples worshiping God and believing in the same covenant, offering the same sacrifices that looked to Messiah. And they both had prophets. Oh, but only Moses had the pillar of fire and the word of the hour and the promised land location in view. On their way to it. The Israelites alone knew the way to get there. And that's where we are. We take the rapture tape and we know how to get there. And people say, well, I'm just wondering, come on. Look, brother, sister, if you're born, you're a human being. Now, if you're born again, you're a spiritual person, a spiritual being, in a limited sense, now follow me. And that will give you access to the rapture. Now that if you turn down the access to the rapture, it shows you haven't got it. If you want a guidebook, I've preached about 23, 24 sermons on the rapture in a whole series. I didn't exhaust it. No way can I exhaust the Word of God. There's no way. But I'm going to tell you something. You'll find in there a lot of answers. Not because I preach it, but I preach it from the Word. That's your guidebook. Now, you miss it, you miss the rapture. Now, the Israel alone knew how to get there. Everybody's talking about appearing and coming, but they're all mixed up. The appearing to them is the rapture. It isn't so. That's the coming. This is appearing. And remember, that spirit that's in our midst has got to take us up. He hasn't gone. The pillar of fire leads us to the millennium. Brother Branham said so. All right. This types to us the millennium. Our exodus from Babylon. So it repeats today. And we find Matthew 7 and 15, the false prophets. And Matthew 24 and 24, trying to deceive the very elect. Now these were prophesied by Joel. And revealed by Peter at Pentecost when he said the Spirit of God would fall in the last day upon everybody. Your sons and your daughters prophesy. Your old men have dreams. Your young men have vision. And upon my men servants and my women servants, I'll pour my Spirit. Everybody can receive the Holy Ghost. But only the bride receives the true baptism with the Holy Ghost. That's what Brother Branham said, the seals open up the true baptism. What's the difference between true baptism and false? One is merely an anointing. It gets on your spirit, not down in your soul. That's why people don't get a revelation of this message. It's only on their spirits. Look at it. Brother says, don't blame me for what I'm saying. You talk to God and fuss to God about it. If I said anything less, I'd be a deceiver. I've got to stand with the prophet. If my own children would stand with the prophet. Remember the man that stole the wedge of silver, the Babylonian wedge of silver and garments. And Joshua said we went through the whole camp by lots. The man should have confessed in the first place. He might have got a little bit of a break. He didn't. They came down to him. Joshua said, now confess and give God the glory. And when he confessed, they took him out and killed him. We're in that same position, brother, sister. We better confess and get killed and go against God. Meet him on the grounds. Well, I know something's there. I know it's real. I know it's true. Your punishment will be just quickly or cut off if you don't make it. Otherwise, there's a second resurrection. I don't know who's going to make what any more than you do. But we have the answer today from a prophet. And what did Balaam do at that time? He led Israel into a union of spiritual and physical adultery, which is idolatry. Uniting all worshipers of the one true God together through human intellect and carnal minds and carnal desires. So today, tongues of Pentecost are brought together. Brought all of us together all over the world. Babylon has fallen. And as is in Daniel's hour, the handwriting is on the wall. Tongues brought judgment the first time. They're bringing judgment the second time. A sign of it. Now listen. Did Belshazzar listen to Daniel? No, sir. He went right on as though nothing had occurred. He said, now I'll tell you what, that's wonderful. So they said that Daniel's the greatest man ever lived. Hallelujah, wonderful. Just go praise God. We know the true God now. He said, tell you what you do. He said, you bring out the golden chains, the beautiful garment, and we'll give him 1/3 of the kingdom. He didn't have any kingdom to give him. It was gone. The devil can't give you anything. It's gone. It's shot. Amen. The judge said so. Amen. We're not dealing, brother, sister, in little trifles and little portions, baubles. We're dealing in the gold and silver and the gems of Almighty God, which endure the fires of God. Hallelujah. We're going to come forth, diadems for His crown. Hallelujah. Let's not get carried away with this false stuff here. My. Get our minds lined up. Now, so, Belshazzar went on as though it was all right with his own program. That night, He was carried away. So does the church in this hour, for it has bypassed the word for its creeds and dogmas. They refuse to come into God's pattern, the word of the hour. As in Daniel's day, the message of the prophet is denied, and so the very God who gave the word is denied. That tells you in the Bible. Let me see if I can find that in 2 Peter. I think it is. I don't know. Sometimes my memory is just not what it should be, which is all the time. Yeah. It says, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring it down, here's it, even denying the Lord. Not denying the Lord, as though they deny there's a God, but saying no to Him. Jesus stood there. The Pharisees said, no, no, no. William Branham stood with God, or God said, they said, no, no, no. There are three gods. But it's only one really. I'll tell you that. Baptism is Holy Ghost, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Say, no, 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 Lord. It's thus saith the Lord, proven. No, no, no. But they think they said yes to God when he went to an altar. Being born again, not a corruptible spora, but an incorruptible. You can be born of corrupted word or incorruptible word. Now, if you're born of the corruptible, you aren't going to make it. That's why there's a true baptism in this hour. Well, brother, sister, we're lying to Scripture. Bless God. Put it out of your minds that you're not. Get this thing down pat. Or get it down with the Spirit of God helping you. Now, this is recorded in the Word. God wrote it there as a warning to us. And God tells all about Israel's sins, which men don't tell. God spoke it all in man's voice through man's lips. The lips are those of a prophet or prophets. And all that, and that prophet or prophets, specially fitted to the age by special nature, a special style, special gifts, and whether he's educated or not, and whether he catches the people in that hour. That prophet is sent to the elect to interpret the word and will of God to them because they have messed it all up. 2 Peter 2 and 1. It's just read it to you. It is not only a pity, but here is the root of all evil. See? They don't listen to what God sent in God's way. Now, since we're talking about a prophet, we're going to look at a true sign overlooked. We're not going to even finish this today because there's no way. Now, if you want, we could even maybe make copies of some of these, what I've torn out of here, taken out. I made copies myself. If you wanted to take some of this home, but even you get it on the tape anyway. How strange it is that man will do that, that will look for a sign, when a sign's right with them, right among them. Now, Israel has got in that condition. Now, we're looking at the fact here that Brother Branham bringing up, you know, the hour in which they lived 2,000 years ago, repeating at this hour, and the people were asking for a sign back there, see? Now, Israel had gotten this condition, and sometimes the torture that that sign has to go through is amazing. The torture that Jesus went through to prove the sign of God that he was the Messiah. Now, there you are. See, the sign of God, that he was the Messiah, he was a prophet. And he's talking about prophets go through. We find out here this young prophet by the name of Ezekiel constantly became a sign all the time. Now, William Branham was a sign. Not just a man standing there. Is what they had to identify. There was some source of power that he was drawing upon that the average person and really no other person can draw upon. Now, if that's simply the baptism with the Holy Ghost, somebody's all messed up and he's thinking. Because I could stand up here and exhaust myself doing gyrations and God knows what. Cut myself, bruise myself, and I still could never have one word of utterance like William Branham had. I believe I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. See? People argue that thing. That's their business. All right, Ezekiel was a sign. How he tortured himself. One place here we find where he laid in his left side for 390 days. God told him to get beans and some pottage and put it together and cook it and lay it by his side and go lay on a tile and lie on his left side alone, then turn over 390 days to do it. And then said, turn over on the right side and lie there for 40 days more. And he said, what you see, Ezekiel, because you're bearing the iniquity of the people. Each day will I count a year for them. Being that every day he laid there meant a year they'd be in captivity and their iniquities would be remembered by God, and God would not hear their prayers anymore. How many prayers can people get answered? Well, you say, Brother Bear, we've had thousands of answers and the prophet even left the scene. That's true. That's true. Under the anointing. But the great prayer of people, God, get us out of here. Millions not living will never die. Will never take root and get anywhere. It's gone. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, we're sick of being healed. But hold it. You haven't made the rapture yet. Oh, no, of course, we're going to. How do you know? Oh, we talk in tongues. We've got this and that. No, you haven't. 1956 was gone. Now listen, you may be playing church this morning, but I'm not playing church. It's just too late. And if you do play church and I play church, what's the difference? It's all over anyway. 56. 30 years. Coming up. 30 years of long suffering. Now, you're bearing with me. But the torture that man had to go through, why would that be necessary? Many have wondered why such a thing would be necessary for man to do. It's because the people won't read the word and won't pray. So God is sovereign, and he sends his prophet to be a sign. The people won't read. They don't care to read. They won't pray. They got other things to do. They can't take time to pray. And the Bible is bearing to them, is boring to them, hasn't got enough action for these modern days or any day. Brother Branham didn't have the action people want. He didn't have a program. Let's go take the word. What for? What do we want to take the world for? God's only going to get the elect out of here. My goodness me. You know, I believe what Paul said, you are epistles of God, read of all men. God uses people for signs, to show his sign. And many times that sign, and every time mostly, unless it's with the elected people, that sign is overlooked and criticized, made fun of, and cast out, and not considered. Even in the Old Testament days, the prophets, they were considered mental, disturbed people. And yet you'd be surprised how many people listen to those who are buggy. You'd be a harebrained, spiritistic, neurotic, and read teacups and things, you'd get them coming. As long as you hit one thing right out of 100 or something. People want to believe, you know, if you're neurotic and goofed up. But if you're right on the ball, only the elect you're going to be. Well, that's nice, isn't it? Keeps the body pure. Okay, everything works out really nice for the Lord. So I used to live down in Florida, so I know some of these things, you know. And they'd see them come in from the wilderness and perform signs and turn back the wilderness again. And they'd come and they'd make fun of them because they did not know the scripture. Oh, they thought Ahab was a great king. Now, Brother Branham, he called Kennedy Ahab, remember? His wife Jezebel. But he said she might not have had a water head haircut if she'd ever heard this word. He wasn't excoriating him, throwing off. He's just telling the truth because America's in the Bible, chapter 13. We will have the Pope, which I believe would be the Antichrist. Oh, they thought Ahab was a great king and all the nations feared him. That was good enough. Did you think they didn't fear Kennedy? Khrushchev drew his horns back and Kennedy wasn't smart enough. He would have been like the king. When it was Elijah went to the king and said, now he said, take this staff and pound the floor. And the guy pounded once or twice. Now he said, if you'd have done that 7 or 8 times, Syria would have been destroyed, but you wouldn't do it. Now Kennedy had a state, the Kennedy that he thought he was, and perhaps was under certain conditions, the Bay of Pigs wouldn't be there. We'd have Cuba off the map today. And we'd have, and the same thing. There wouldn't have been an airlift over there in Germany to get food to the east, to the soldiers, the west part that was hidden behind the Iron Curtain. They'd bulldoze that wall down. Crusade, we'd have done nothing. They'd admired America. America's lost her power to live. But you can blame Truman for that, enclaves and things where he wouldn't give General MacArthur, well, they wanted to do the same thing in Vietnam, but they wouldn't give General MacArthur a chance to wake the country up. See, we're paying, brother, sister, for not standing our ground because we were a Christian nation with Christian principles. Then they got this pseudo love in, this hot dog kind of love, you know. Oh, fast. Now they thought Ahab was a great king. Nations feared him, that was good enough. But Elijah was a sign of the word. Where was William Branham? Right here in America. That's a true prophet, a sign of the word. So while he was being the sign of the word, they didn't believe him. They had no use for him. Why? They wanted their politicians. Then he excoriates the politicians. All right. Micah had no cooperation. Moses had no cooperation. Neither William Branham. Jesus had none. Noah had none. None of them ever had cooperation. It's all against them. But they're a sign in the evil days before God sends judgment. And God keeps his word and wants his word kept by his people. Praise the Lord. There was a man sent from God. His name was John, a prophet sign. Before Jesus ever came to the earth to declare himself, he sent a prophet before him. Did he do it? No, sorry, before he ever came to the earth.
Hallelujah.
See, let's watch these statements. Parallel today. Sent a prophet. Did he do it? He sent a prophet, Elijah, the Old Testament, prophesied to come in the power of Elijah, of the Old Testament. He was to be a prophet sign that Jesus was coming. There was to be a Messiah coming. Now, he's already there, wasn't he? Okay? And when John came out of the wilderness, he was a sign that the Messiah was on his road. What, coming down? And when John appeared, Israel ought to have known by their prophets. That's where the people miss it. They don't believe their prophets. They don't believe. We don't believe what Peter said was all right on the day of Pentecost. That's be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe that's right. They don't believe what Paul said, the same thing Peter did. If an angel from heaven preaches any other word, let him be accursed. They don't believe that. See? Yeah, why? Because they feel they're full of the Holy Ghost. They're born again. How can you be cursed if you got the Holy Ghost? Well, you have anointing. Born of the wrong seed. Well, isn't a mule born of the wrong seed? Why, certainly. Got mismated. They don't believe that. See, don't believe it. They don't believe their prophets. If they'd have known, Isaiah said, there'd be a voice of one crying to others, and they prepare the way of the Lord. They should have known it. He was a prophet, a prince of the prophets. He told them, but they didn't believe it. No, no, there's a Messiah coming. This man was a man sent from God. Oh, brother, he had no following. God gave him a following, a little flock, just like he did Elijah. God gave him his following. He didn't get it from some political organization. He preached the word. Stayed on God's word, and God gave him a little flock. Elijah stayed on the word. God gave him a little flock. All right? His coming. Told the spirit of Isaiah, he's coming. John coming was predicted in Scripture, Isaiah 40. I'll send a messenger. Well, that was Malachi 3. Send his messenger before him. The prophet, the last prophet spoke to him. The last thing spoke of him. Remember, the last book of the Old Testament spoke that Elijah would come to the children of Israel before the showing of Messiah. Are you ready? The last book in the Bible, Revelation, shows us there will be a return of him, that's Elijah, in the last days to the Gentile church, a sign. How they miss it? He's prophesied to come again just before the great and second coming of the Lord. That's before the rapture. All right? Malachi, 4th chapter, and Revelation, also the 3rd chapter. Now find me that one. Tells us he will be here in the last days. It tells you. That someone that same one that'll stand in the breach for the people with a little flock that God will give him, he'll come in the last days. God said so. He'll be assigned to the Gentiles, this Gentile nation, that her time is no more. We better go back to the 3rd chapter of the book of Revelation. See what we come up with. I don't say I'm going to be right on this, but I got a pretty good idea. I'm pretty right in what I say. Now, he's reading before verse 14. That's another age. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. These things said the Amen. That's the winder-upper. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. God creating himself in the form of human flesh is winding it all up. Now remember, you'll be dealing not with the Spirit. Eventually, you'll be dealing with the human form of Jesus in the rapture. That's after the rapture. I know thy works, you're neither hot nor cold. Would you're cold or hot? Then because you're so lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I spew out of my mouth. Because you say, now how are they lukewarm? I'm rich, increased with goods of need and nothing, and knowest not, you're wretched, miserable, poor, and blind and naked. I counsel you to buy me gold and fire, tried in the fire. They don't have it, you see. You may be rich. White raiment, you may be clothed. They don't have it. And yet the shame of the naked do not appear. That's their adulteries. In other words, God's going to manifest it. It's being manifested right now. It's thoroughly manifested through the prophetic utterance. Who's doing it? Elijah. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve. You don't have them. You better get it, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous and repent. Now, that's the secret of the whole thing. The prophet is brought on the scene to change your minds. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who's there? Christ. Put outside the church. Now, this is not the baptism with the Holy Ghost. This would be in the complete singular. Although the true baptism is outside the church now, too. If any man hear my voice, know the door, I'll come into him and sup with him, and he with me. Him that overcomes, I'll sit with me in my... I'll grant to sit with me in my throne as I've come overcome, set down my Father in his throne. He that hath, and let him hear it to the Spirit. Okay? He said, the same one that'll stand in the breach for the people with a little flock. Now, I behold, I stand at the door and knock. What is the door in a building? It's a breach in a wall, right? Okay, who's going to stand in the breach to hear the one on the outside? Prophet. That's the only thing I can see. I don't know if I'm right or wrong. I feel good about what I see because he said Revelation 3. Who stands there for us? The prophet to hear God. We can't hear him. No way. No way. He'll not reveal the word to you. Well, you get a little bit of a glimpse, but you won't get the revealed word. There's no way. Who's going to stand in that? Who's going to stand in that door? Prophet. Because to me, a door is a breach in a wall. What else could it be? It's an opening. See? Could be wrong, but that's just about the best I can do for you. He said, surely, Moses, I'll be with you. Now, going back illustrating, he didn't show him. Now, listen. Here's one of those goodies again. He didn't show himself down in Egypt just only by miracles and signs. Appearing by signs and wonders, brothers and sisters, part of the appearing, but that's not all of it. But when he got them all together, gathered together, he appeared to them again and vindicated Moses' ministry before the elected and called out. When that prophet had chopped them loose from that nation and brought them into a place, then the pillar of fire appeared again on top of Mount Sinai, parallel it with today. Amen. Praise be to God. It's more than life to me.
I was trying to find something here, but I don't see it. That's all right. I'll read the next. Now, you notice in here, like on Emmaus, he revealed himself after his death and resurrection. Now, as my age begins to creep on, and I see the hour of vulgarity and immorality sweeping the lands and things, then I look back and see what's happened. My heart leaps for joy, knowing that after a while this earthly tabernacle of habitation will be dissolved, but I got one waiting yonder. I'm trying to pull a people. Chop them from these things and things to pull them out, to show them by the Scripture that God's standing there with a vindication of the pillar of fire, which hundreds of thousands have seen and even had it took before a camera time after time to prove it. Now, you tell me that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, let me tell you one thing. You ain't living where I'm living. If you try to say something different from a real, personal, Almighty God, you're sitting someplace I'm not sitting. You say, well, Brother Bill, explain it. I don't have to explain nothing. It's been explained. I believe it. Now, he said, on two occasions, these were the same. Pillar of fire and the face in the cloud. Now, he said, it's been seen and taken by the camera. All right. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, just that first verse. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now that's got to be the appearing, because the first chapter describes this one up here. Now we're going to hit a good one just a little while. We're going to take time this morning because there's no Wednesday service, and I can't afford to exhaust myself, but I don't mind. I said, it's all right. If I exhaust myself, that's perfectly all right because I'm trying to serve the Lord and trying to serve you. But I hope you're getting what I'm telling you here. Did you listen carefully? Well, I'll read it again. Surely, Moses, I'll be with you. He didn't show himself down in Egypt just only by miracles and signs. But when he got them all gathered together, he appeared to them again and vindicated Moses' ministry before the elect and called out. When that prophet had chopped them loose from that nation and brought them into a place, then the pillar of fire appeared again on top of Mount Sinai, parallel it with today. In other words, they were gathered there where he was. Where the manifestation proved to be the correct manifestation, this was God. Now remember, we are not entitled to see the pillar of fire anymore. We're entitled to see the man and hear the voice. And recognize this is the man and this is the present by the vindication. Now listen, Brother Branham, as my age begins to creep on, and I see the hour of vulgarity and immorality sweeping the lands and the Sodom and Gomorrah. Then I look back and see what's happened. My heart leaps for joy, knowing that while this earthly tabernacle and habitation will be dissolved, after a while will be dissolved. But I got one waiting yonder. I'm trying to pull a people. That's what Moses did. Chop them. That's what Moses did. From these things and other things, to pull them out, to show them by the Scripture that God's standing there with a vindication of the pillar of fire, which hundreds and thousands have seen and even had it took before a camera time after time to prove it. So it's not just signs and wonders and miracles. That can prove God anywhere. Let me just show you something. Ephesians knew this. Ephesians the fourth chapter, I think it is. You see, I got to find it and make sure now. Okay. It says here in that fourth chapter, he sent it up on high and gave gifts to men. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Okay, Psalm 68 and 18. Let's go back. Always go back to where it's taken from. So you don't get fooled by context. This is concerning Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Thou hast ascended on high, led captivity captive, hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell. The Holy Ghost was there, brother, sister, like it is in this hour. And you can have authentic dreams, authentic visions. You can even prophesy to a degree, and you can prophesy yourself straight into hell like Balaam did. And you have all kinds of gifts. And it's proving the presence of God. It's not proving that baptism with the Holy Ghost is they're two different things. It's proving you don't know the baptizer, but you got an anointing. Being off of that word. All right, impersonators rise up. Sure, it's got to be done. Impersonators rise up in the day of Moses. Did the same thing. God said, separate yourself, Moses. Don't hang around them. I'll swallow them up. And the world got them. So it is today. Go right back in the world. Money schemes, everything else. Oh, Lord God, there's... Now, he's here and you're praying. There's many here that's fallen in sickness. And while we waited long past the time of dismissing the church, there are those who are sick. Oh, God, let that prayer that the Holy Spirit comes personally in a pillar of fire, who declares himself and makes himself known to be who he is, and we believe him, let him encircle every person in here today, heal the sick, filled with the Spirit. The baptizer to baptize. The healer to heal. Now this is at that man's voice. Not for 2,000 years has that been. Then if he never descended, brother, sister, is here all the time. There's been a corner change and people still don't understand it. But I say he descended. I'm not backing off the word of God for anybody. You accommodate yourself to people. Forget it. Accommodate yourself to Jesus Christ. Then you'll accommodate to people and be something. Otherwise, it's a prostitution game. And giving God some second-hand carcass. I wish men were smart enough to leave women alone, quit their stinking rotten adulteries and marry virgins. That have something to their credit in. You're not looking at any simply virtuous person up here because I've had one woman. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we ought to be where God wants us to be. Got them messing around all the time. Filling the churches too. That's what it's doing. Heal the sick. Fill with the Spirit. Give deliverance every manner, Lord, that we have need of. Saturate our hearts with faith, God, with undying faith, uncompromising faith that we have. Thus saith the Lord. I want to read you something. Everybody quotes, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise will bring it to pass. So one day I got the rest of it, and I said, phoned something to my friend and said, give me the rest of that quote. Couldn't do it. I was real smart and sharp. I gave him a quote. The right mental attitude toward any divine promise will bring it to pass. The right attitude is to receive it and say, it's thus saith the Lord. Anybody can say that because you know it is. And let us saturate. That's the whole thing. Saturate our beings. Okay. See how perfect the scripture is. A day that won't be called day or night. That's when these false ones are on the market. Fruit cannot ripen unless the sun ripens it. It takes heat, you see. No matter how much you preach, whatever you can do, it cannot be ripened. It cannot be manifested. It cannot be vindicated. Only by him who said, I am the light of the world, the word. So there comes forth a power, the Holy Spirit himself, to ripen or to vindicate or to prove or to make manifested that what he's predicted would happen this day. That's not the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Or did it be a past tense? He's already 2,000 years been doing it. No, he hasn't. It shall be light about the evening time. The first fruits are coming in. I'm just aware that the Spirit of Christ is moving around through the building here this morning. The God that will judge the world is right here now. There's a series on the judge. Do what you want about it. If you're being bored, I'm sorry for you. I'm not the least bored. I prepared these notes, prepared this whole thing, now I'm getting blessed by it. Praise the Lord.
I tell you what, if you prepare the soil and plant the seed and water a bit, you get pretty roses like I do. If you do like Bill Graham, you get nice peas and you bring them to my place and I'll eat them anyway. I got my flowers and the people take care of their food and that's good. I like that. So I'll try to take care of your food this morning. I'm just aware the Spirit of Christ is moving around through this building this morning. The God that will judge the world is right here now, just as certain as I'm standing in this pulpit. There has been 1, 2, 3 vindications of it, of the Word, just exactly what the Bible said. You hear it shut up at that time after that. You hear it shut up at that time after that. 1, 2, 3. Everything is spiritual order. Everything is scriptural order. Oh, open your hearts and understand such a time what could happen. All right? Okay, back to my notes. Now, what we read here brings me to recapping again. It was in Eden that God spoke to man. Then the devil came right behind him and denied the truth. Men do so now by creeds and dogmas. Just what I've been reading from Brother Ben. Okay? But the will of God never wavers. Man must receive truth, and God provided a way by prophets. Chuckle, chuckle. Surprise, surprise. Oh, God doesn't have prophets. Unless, of course, I'm one. Fap. Boy, did Brother Branham throw a curve when he said, the modern day understanding of prophets is anointed preaching, so therefore all preachers are prophets. He said, that's modern day. What's old day? You know, you can get so fooled by what a person says. And it's not semantics. It's being in the spirit that man's in. See? Now, the will of God never wavers. Man must receive truth, and God provided a way by prophets. And the God who can write and speak has chosen men to write and speak through. Let that be amen to us. Let's give God credit. Now, recognizing the day. Now, listen to this carefully. Now, this is to people who are going through what we're going through, and this is the warning that he gives if you're not listening. So which way your nature is this morning, if you're a doubter of God's word, that's what he's preaching, if you're a doubter, you'll be a doubter over there. I don't care how holy you are, how you live, and how good you live, it wouldn't change you one bit to die, just your dwelling place. And if you can't accept the whole word of God, the way it's written, you wouldn't do it there. So don't worry, you won't be there. Now, either he was a liar or he was telling the truth. This man was a judgment prophet, brother, sister. Let's get it flat. Because, you see, it was judge time. There's the beard, the wig. See? Don't worry about a second tape, Bill. We'll just call this off when I'm finished here. It's getting time anyway to go. You won't get there anyway, he says. You've got to accept it in its fullness. He's talking to living people before they die. Now is the accepted time. Now is the hour of salvation. See? You got acceptance in its fullness, in the power of its vindication and the revelation of what it is. Then you're a part of it. Not only see it, but hear it. Explain. And when you receive the explanation, you're a part of that word. And until that time, you are not a part of the body, the word body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, but that's what the prophet said. And I like it that way, I must admit it. You say, what if you miss it? Well, I was supposed to miss it. It's only his word that he'll raise up. Why? Because that's all he stands behind and raises up. He doesn't confirm somebody else's word. He leaves a law of attitude. Elisha could curse the kids and they all got killed by bears. That wasn't confirming his word. That was latitude. That was in a power ministry. But when it came to that word, Elijah and Elisha were right on it. They weren't even word prophets in the legitimate sense. Yet how great they were. What's a word prophet? Well, he's a fantastic creation. It's only his word he'll raise up as he did his word on the first Easter morning. Here's your type. Only his word came forth and those who had died in his word, believing his word and vindicated his word. What came with him? The word believers. Abel.
That's right.
See, right on up. Now, notice. Now that's been 2,700 years ago. Notice they were scattered, they were blinded, and now they've been gathered. Now they've been gathered. Now the next thing is to receive life. What's he talking about? 2,000 years ago? No, now. Our gathering together unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. We've been gathering. It's gathering time. Remember you told about the little honker, the baby goose that was born out there in the wilderness of Canada? The old big old fella grew into that fall. Suddenly flash ring honks a couple of times. They all take off. Born leader. Talk about rallying around the gift in the days of Sheba. Greater than Solomon's here. Now the next thing is that they are to receive light. I talked about that the other day. Search the scriptures. In them that think have eternal life there, they'll testify of me. That was Jesus. See, God manifests, showing himself. They testify who I am. That makes Hebrews 1:1 now. Clearly, God and sundry times spoke by prophets. Clearly identifying the characteristics now by the resurrection of his son. The same prophet went down. Form of the Holy Ghost, met Paul face to face, met William Branham. God spoke by the prophets then, through his son now. What other way? It always was that way. The unchangeable God, the same characteristics. The works that I do, you'll do also. God known by his identified characteristics. That's how you know. You say, well, I do this, I sing this, do this, this, this. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Word made manifest and identifying this life. What life? The Christ life, the true life, the one himself who is life. There is a life there. That's not an outworking. That's not a shadow. The life is there. Elohim. God. See, we're dealing with that. Now, Pharisees knew the Bible as good as anybody. Now, today Luther says, you believe you got it. What? Pillar of fire, the light. Mather said, we've got it. He said, you potentially had it. You're building to it. We've got it. He's here. Then if they were looking forward to it, they couldn't have had it. Well, he said, I believe he always was here. The thing is, God is universal. God, there's not a pantheistic God that I serve. That's spiritism. God was pantheistic. I breathed all in. I'm breathing God. Breathing God. What if I breathed out and then lost God? You know, people are crazy. God, have pity. I'm tired of that junk. The seals are open. It's revealed to us. We see what they left off. You want to debate and fuss about serpents, eat water baptism, and so forth. You're blind and don't know it. The God of this world blinded you and you don't know it. No wonder I had such a time this morning getting my message together, he said. Everywhere, there's no revival now. Everybody complaining, ministers crying. They see, they turned on the message. I was reading one of the outstanding papers to come to the church here. Fine paper. Brother and Sister Moore, Harold is coming. Very fine paper. They say, fast pray, sound of trumpet. How many reads it? You know, fast pray. We're going to have a great breaking day. There's something going to happen. Pray. All pray. We're not too late yet. Pray. Why did they do that? They want a great awakening. They're crying, believing there will be awakening. They're good people. Why is it? What have they done? They have not recognized the awakening of the bride. Awake thou the sleepest and rise from the dead and Christ will give thee light. The bride has had a spiritual resurrection already. By being a Christian, they feel the pull of the hour, but they haven't recognized what's been done. That's what's making them feel that way. They know something is supposed to happen, but see, they're looking for it far off in the future when it's already happened right by you. He's here and revealed. Same thing in days of old. They believed in the coming of the Messiah. Well, he's right there and they didn't recognize it. They believed there'd be a forerunner who'd forerun the Messiah. When he came, they cut his head off. They prophesied they'd be blinded. Hosea said so. The same spirit that spoke to Hosea spoke through John. In the church in his last days, this naked blind will put him out of the church. They failed to see these prophecies fulfilled. But being in there, they realize that something has got to happen. They just don't get it. They don't realize it. Much like the Jews of old time. Blind Laodicea. Rich is theology. Hostile with the church. Hostile toward the message. Look how hostile those Jews were with John. How hostile they were with Jesus when he was the very one they claimed to be looking for. Notice, hostile. Now like the Jews of old blind, they are Laodicea. They're naked, wretched, miserable, and blind. They have riches, great theological teaching, great education. Now they become hostile toward the message, like Brother Bill said on Wednesday night. They want nothing to do with it, just like it was back in the days when Jesus was on earth. The scripture said they become the enemies of the cross and they have. The reason people in Noah's day did not go into the ark, because they never recognized the message nor the messenger. You got to have both, brother, sister. That's the only reason they perished, is because they didn't recognize the hour they're living in. They didn't recognize that God would deal with sin as he promised he would. He'd destroy man with the face of the earth. He prophesied he meant it. He means that the same then as he means it today, the same as he meant then. But the people, instead of being favorable toward Noah, they thought he's a wild man. They made fun of him, didn't recognize their hour, didn't recognize the day, didn't recognize the sign, didn't recognize the message, didn't recognize the messenger, put him out and laughed at him. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. Jesus said they scoffed at his prophet Noah. They scoffed in that day. They'll do it again, he's coming. They would do the same thing. That's the reason Pharaoh drowned the sea. He never recognized the day. And Pastor Pharaoh? Pastor Pharaoh, come on. He never recognized what was going on. He was took up in the achievement of his scientific age to build cities in slave labor by slave labor. He was too busy to recognize the opportunities he had to turn his back on God's messenger prophet in the wilderness. He didn't recognize it. That's the reason that things went the way they did. He never recognized it. If he'd only recognized the promised word of God and to that people, the churches today would only recognize. But you see how this all blends. Okay. They didn't recognize the promised word and that they're going to perish. If America would only recognize the Constitution that she drawed up, she wouldn't be willing to take Bibles out of the schools, take the name of God off of coins, and pledge allegiance under God, but she won't recognize it. Why? She's blind and naked. And the churches would only recognize, if the churches would recognize the Word of God that's made this promise for this hour to the people, they wouldn't perish. If America could recognize the Constitution she drew up, she wouldn't be willing to take Bibles out of the schools, take the name of God off of coins, and pledge allegiance under God. But she doesn't recognize. Now, what Brother Branham is showing you, the fall of America depends on the prophet. The uprising of America depends on a prophet. Now, see, well, why do you say, well, God does very foolish things to the wisdom of man? God is perfectly insipid and an idiot. He always has been and always will be. Jesus thanked God that only the babes could understand. The wise and prudent didn't have a clue. Now, the prophet is telling the truth, that he is the key, standing in the breach, because he has a vindicated message. And the people don't want it. And the message is what puts you in or puts you out. So therefore, the rapture is ongoing now. People can't understand that. Brother, sister, wake up before it's too late. There's an urgency of what's going on. Brother Brandon's been gone 20 years. How much longer can it stand? Not very long. You see? She doesn't recognize it. She's blind and naked. She can't recognize the blood of those precious boys that died on the field for this privilege. They're forgotten. They're dust. But there's one who does remember the shed blood of the prophets, the cost that it took to bring this gospel to us today, how the thousands have been eaten by lions and thrown into the dens, have been sawn asunder, burnt and crucified, and God recognizes it. The church has forgotten their prophets. They don't need them anymore, they claim. But God knows he's got to have them. He uses people by his word, but it's too old-fashioned to them in this day. They don't recognize it. That's the reason they're in the condition there. And that's the reason they're naked, miserable, blind, wretched, and don't know it. It's because they don't recognize the hour we're living, don't notice it. See, don't recognize him. Now put it where it is, brother, sister. Don't run around fooling with it. Oh, you blinded denominations. If God can use a mule that's dumb to speak in a language that he doesn't know to reveal to a minister, he's out of the way. Can't he use a man to do the same thing? He said, I'm standing here. God can use a mule and you admit it. And you talk about it. You enjoy it. You think it's tremendous and you laugh about it. And you... God doesn't use mules. He uses men. But if he did have to use a mule to bring a minister around, what would happen if he used a prophet? Nothing if they turn the prophet down except judgment. They claim they're looking for something to happen. The churches are praying and fasting, saying, now let us pray, let's get together. We've got to have a great thing to happen. We know there's something great to happen. The church has got to get ready. Hogwash. John was sent to get ready the prepared people. William Branham was sent to get ready the prepared people. The readiness lies in the word. From under the seals. Where there's not one word added nor one word taken. You've got the perfect word of God revealed. That which is perfect has come. In part is done away. It's over. Amen. We better catch up with it. They always expect God to be according to their pattern. The prophet said it right. And he's in his own pattern. The church has not recognized Judea like Israel back in the promised land. She doesn't know how she got back there. She was just automatically put there. Now listen. National force put her into place. Now I'm going to say something. National force put Israel in her homeland. National force will put the church in the world council of churches. But the power of God will put the people in the bride. The world forces this way, the world forces that way, but God forces upward the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God. My Word is Spirit and life, and will put the bride in her place, because she recognizes her position in the Word, then she's in Christ. In other words, you recognize that you're bride material. See, no national force will do it, but the national force did drive Israel's homeland. The national forces of the Council of Churches will drive every organization into it, but the power of God will raise the bride into glory out of it. Now, that's got to be because that's the pattern of Rome. All right? Why I go to Christian businessmen conventions and them, and they say, glory to God. Then those preachers get up and just stir the crowd saying, there's coming a great revival. The hand of the Lord is going to be upon the earth. And how the people are going for is running like. They don't realize that's under the trumpets for Israel. Why do they do it? It's because that they're Christian professors and don't realize. Now, he just said don't realize, but he cut them off, see? Neither did Caiaphas realize what he was doing. And they don't realize that they're rejecting the very message that was sent to them. Amen. Every part of the scripture we went through day after day and week after week until it's undisputable truth. If the blind can't receive it, Jesus said, let him alone. If the blind lead the blind. Now, that's the thing. Blind lead the blind. They both fall in the ditch. I don't know. I don't know where, but I know it is coming. All right. As you're recognizing the day. Now, we've got all this finished to just simply introduce. Read over again what he said here. Now, he said here, it's a mess up because of the theologians and the priests. It's always a mess up. Always the interpretation is wrong. Now, this is not an interpretation of man.
Amen.
We do not have God's word interpreted by man anymore. It's interpreted by God himself, though God must use a man. Now, see, remember, now let your thinking come back where it belongs. God was Jesus in human flesh to be, number one, a prophet. He was the prophet before he was the Lamb. Now, Israel didn't understand Lamb. So John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Well, just a minute, what do you mean? This is the one Moses prophesied was the prophet coming. But Isaiah said about him, he was a lamb that must die for the sins of the people. And you can't have an ordinary lamb or an ordinary man. It's got to be the one conceived by a virgin. And she was strictly an incubator. Her body was a chemical factory, the factory used for God to bring the chemistries out of the earth so he could be like us in that way. But he wasn't like us in any other way. You understand, he was different from Adam. Two different races entirely, brother, sister. You're looking at something different. You can remember this. You're not putting your trust in a man, though he was a man. You're putting your trust in God, man, which is the great order. All right, now, interpretations raw was wrong. Never one time failed to be wrong. Not one time has God's word failed to be right. That's the difference. How do you know right? When you see it vindicated. Now you see God wrote the Bible. That's right, he did. Now, God can write, God can speak, and God can cause men to write. And he calls and speak. Now, Brother Brandon categorically said, my ministry is different. I am different because I'm the only man who can tell it as he saw it. People see visions. But if you're not a real prophet, you cannot come back and tell it exactly.
Right.
I've had visions, not many, but I've had them. I cannot tell them exactly. There's no way. I've never had God explain something to me, so I cannot tell you what he said. William Branham could stand there like a prophet and get everything that God said and miraculously come right back and write it down or tell us. So you knew it was God. It wasn't man. Let's look beyond the man. But let's not look away from the man as though the man didn't count. But remember, he himself said, like John the Baptist, there's one coming after me whose shoe latch I'm not worthy to unloose, and he will increase and I will decrease. And Brother Branham said categorically, he said, if that great one coming after me is a man, then I wasn't that one, that prophet. It cannot be a man. There's only one can be, and that can be Jesus Christ himself. He pointed to us, which is in the form of the Holy Spirit and the pillar of fire. Now, brother, sister, that's what these messages are all about. That you've got a vindicated word. That all else outside of this word will perish. Nothing except this word will come to life. He said nothing outside this message will come to life. You say, just a minute, what about the dead? They're in the message. And you know what they did? They paid a price, which was the price of death, because they weren't all the way in the word. Let's go back to Romans. We'll get you out of here. Don't worry. You know nothing on Wednesday. You can sleep Wednesday night. Snore out loud. You won't bother me at all. But we're going to get you out of here. This is harder on me than it is on you. Don't worry. I'll be the one that suffers, not you. Okay, it says here in the 8th chapter of Romans, it says in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man not the Spirit of Christ, is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. That tells you right there, you'll come out of the ground. You paid your price. The wage of sin is death. But here you don't die. Here you don't die. Not this hour. You say, what about if you die, Brother Bill? I wish I would. I'm not afraid of dying. The other day, I almost choked to death up in the Lima. My wife and my daughter prayed out loud, real loud. I wasn't praying at all. I was wondering how long it would take me to die if I fell on the floor in what position. How long would it take to really choke? It's an awful, that's not a nice feeling. But the Lord made a way of escape, which was fine. If he wants it that way, that's the way it is. But I could die tomorrow. Choke, drown, anything else, who knows? Nobody knows. Not an unhappy eventuality. There's no great glory to be standing here and be changed. Doesn't make you different from anybody else. Going to get the same body, same God does it all. Why'd they die? It wasn't the hour to live. And they didn't have what we had to have, which would get back to that word 100%. See, now the first church could have had the rapture, but they went off. So the whole church went with them. So I think Brother Vail that maybe that the people that didn't go off, they should have been held. No, they couldn't get immortality. Number one wasn't time. Number two, you go in a body. This group does not go one at a time. One goes up, two goes up, three goes up, four, five, six, seven. Now we may, at the end time, in little groups, be noticed to be missing. That's right. But Brother Brand's song book. So you're not saved as an individual only. You're saved as a part of a group. And there won't be one that's not born again that's in that body. And when that body goes, the whole body goes.
Amen.
Won't be one left behind.
Hallelujah.
See? There's going to be a little tiny group standing here that doesn't die. So I want to be that. Well, that's the way you want to be. I want to be one of those too. See? Put it all to glory by name. Amen. Lord bless you. We're going to go home now. Let's rise. Next time we come together, it's 5 o'clock. Come 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Who cares? You know where the legion is? The veterans, what do you call it? That legion hall down there. And you can have fellowship, but we won't eat. Now, if you get there later at 5:30, that's okay. But the thing is, we'd better start eating around 5:30. I would say that because I'm going to eat a little bit with you, and then I'm going to go home. So I'm thinking of myself as well as you, mostly myself. But you don't mind anyway. You're going to eat and have a good time. Heavenly Father, be with us now, Lord, as we go on our way. And we pray, Father, that what we have heard today, reading from the prophet's message, there won't be one word lost, O God, upon us. We know, Lord, that every single portion is not repeating Scripture, but it's telling us why Scripture was and is and what's happening. And so we appreciate that, so we're thoroughly oriented at this time concerning the Word, concerning truth. So, Father, we cannot praise you enough. No way can we praise you enough. We just hope, Lord, that somehow you'll inspire us to give thee glory, Lord, which we've always wanted to. And, Lord, reading from the prophet, I believe, does give you glory because it's presenting to the people the hour, a literal composite of this hour, Lord. It's just beautiful how the prophet brought it up. We sure appreciate it. It's marvelous. It's meat and drink to our souls. And we pray, Lord, that we feast on it today. We'll feast every day, every moment, until we're changed. Because now we're part of the Word, and you're going to bring the Word forth. And that doesn't mean, Lord, we know just out of the graves, but you're going to bring a people forth out of the cocoon they're in right now, transforming them to the butterfly that they're supposed to be. The metamorphosis, the transfiguration, by the renewing of the mind through the Word of the living God. Lord, we praise you for it. Oh God, may we repent, change our mind as we never have, until that mind of Christ is firmly over all, Lord, and that we know then the Spirit of God is moving in his tabernacle. So, Lord, we just pray that each one of us, there won't be one of us missing. No, Lord, not one iota. But every one of us, Lord, go on and on and on. Thy kingdom come, O Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's just sing that song, take the name of Jesus with you. And that's what we intend to do.